This weekend, I had the opportunity to be at a retreat in the Dallas area with 60 people who flew in from all over the country to be together, to be instructed and encourage each other and minister to each other in dealing with the wounds that they are living with because of having lived with a homosexual identity, or being the family members of those who have accepted a gay identity. We don't believe that that's how God sees people to be. But it was exciting for me to see how Jesus Christ changes lives. And as these people fight against their same-sex feelings, what I was thinking this morning as I was preparing to come speak to you is that many of these folks would have given anything to hear what I'm going to share with you this morning when they were sitting in your seats, when they were your age, when they were at this point in their lives, before the lies of the culture started crashing in on them. Those lies unleashed so much pain and heartache and destruction in their lives. And my prayer is that what I can share with you that comes out of 10 years of helping people deal with homosexuality, with unwanted homosexuality, and having studied God's Word for 37 years and knowing what He says is good and right because He loves us so much and He wants to protect us from pain, and that's why His rules are in place. I'm delighted to share with you what I have this morning. I wish my friends from this weekend had had a chance to hear this stuff when they were sitting where you are now. Because you live in this culture, because you are in a place where there is TV, there's internet, there's Twitter, there's Facebook, there's YouTube, there are movies, there are billboards, there are all kinds of messages that come to us through the culture. You are being inundated, are being covered up with lies from Satan. And spiritual warfare is very, very real. That we have an enemy of our souls who hates people because we are made in the image of God. And he especially hates you because you belong to God. And you are made in his image and you bear the likeness of Jesus because you're believers. Our culture has so many lies being told to us about how we should see ourselves, how we should see our bodies, how we should think about our feelings. And there are a lot of lies about homosexuality in particular. And so what I want to do first thing is share with you some of the lies that you are either already hearing or which will lie ahead for you. Some of you are on the young side and you're thinking, why are we even talking about this? And I'm glad that you're thinking that because maybe you haven't even been exposed to this, but usually by fifth grade, people are starting to get all kinds of messages about how cool it is to be gay. So there are four lies that I want to share with you that are in the culture that you're a part of. I want you to know what the lies are so that when you hear them, you will be able to stand against them and say, that's not true. It's a lie. Now let me just tell you, from the position of someone who has spent 10 years helping people deal with the effects of the lies that they believed, I have seen so much pain and so much destruction to people's lives, and my prayer is that I can help protect you from the devastation of believing in Satan's lies. The first lie that you will hear in our culture is that homosexuality is normal and healthy. A lot of people will tell you that it's just a normal variation in the way we feel. It's a normal variation in the way people handle their bodies and their sexuality. But homosexuality is not God's plan for our souls or our bodies. God's plan, as you heard before, is that we grow up and we engage in a committed covenant marriage relationship between one man and one woman for life. Anything apart from that is not God's plan, and if it's not God's plan, it's going to hurt us. It's a lie that homosexuality is normal. It's a lie that it's healthy. The fact that it does occur doesn't mean that it's normal. It means we live in a fallen world, and because of sin, when Adam and Eve sinned against God and rebelled against what He told them to do, the moment they sinned, all kinds of things were unleashed in our world. And that's why we have disease. That's why we get things like earthquakes and hurricanes. That's why we have wars. That's why we have depression and suicide. That's why we have so many things that are not right about our world, is because of the effect of sin on our world. And homosexuality is part of the problem of sin. Let me just tell you up front, homosexuality is not God's plan. He hates homosexuality, but He loves the people who are engaged in it because He loves all people. And He wants us to be free from the power of lies that hold people in bondage. This lie that homosexuality is normal and healthy, they don't tell you what the truth is. That when you engage in homosexual activity, it puts you at very high risk for AIDS, which is an autoimmune disease that opens you up to all kinds of other problems, a much higher risk for sexually transmitted diseases, many of which there is no cure for them. Girls, let me just tell you, if you are engaged in any kind of sex before marriage, any kind of sex, you are inviting into your bodies sexually transmitted diseases that you may not even be aware are there, but it is the biggest reason why young women are not able to have babies. It's because it causes all kind of destruction inside girls' bodies. And then when they get married and they're ready to start a family, then they can't have babies because of the damage that's done to them. There, for those that engage in a homosexual lifestyle, there's roughly 3 times the rate of alcoholism and drug abuse among those that say, I'm gay and it's great. It's not great. There are all kinds of psychiatric and emotional problems, including suicide. Huge amount of depression. You already know people who are dealing with depression. If you're a safe person, they'll tell you. If you're not a safe person, you'll never know. But you all know people who are dealing with depression, people in your own grade, because depression is a huge problem among students. But one of the lies that happens in our culture is the reason you're depressed is because you're gay and you're fighting it, and if you would just give in, then you'd be happy. But that's not what happens, because depression and homosexuality go together. If that were the case, then there wouldn't be any problem with depression and suicide in places like San Francisco and Holland, where there is an open embracing of homosexuality. It's just part of the lie. There's a lot more promiscuity, meaning sex outside of marriage and lots of it, and domestic abuse, people beating each other up in the homosexual community. And particularly for men, there is the threat of a much shortened lifespan. It is not normal. It is not healthy. The second lie that you will hear in the culture is that if you are attracted to somebody of the same sex, it means you're gay or lesbian. You have a crush. If you're a girl, you've got a crush on a girl. Oh, you're a lesbian. If you're a guy and you can't stop thinking about a guy, oh, it means you're gay. We know what that means. Let me tell you something that is very freeing, but you're not going to hear it on YouTube or on many of the songs that you're listening to. You're not going to see it on TV. Crushes on people of the same sex as us. It's just a normal part of adolescent development. It's part of the stage that God means for you to go through. So if you have really strong feelings for somebody of the same sex, what it means is that you're on track for growing up, because God means that first we make this really close connection with our moms when we're a baby, and then a couple years later we're supposed to make a close connection to our dads, and then the next stage is to make a really close connection with our same-sex peers. Girls are BFFs with other girls, and boys are best friends with other boys, and they hang with, boys think the girls have cooties, and girls think the boys have cooties, and everything is just fine with that. And that's part of the development, is we're supposed to have really close friendships and relationships with people of the same sex as us. And then finally, the last stage of development is when we have close attachments with people of the opposite sex. And that's when people start dating or courting and they start thinking about getting married. That's God's plan. First we connect with mom, then dad, then our same-sex peers, and then our opposite-sex peers. If you have strong attractions for somebody of the same sex, it means you just need to finish growing up. It doesn't mean you're gay. It doesn't mean you're lesbian. And those who say that it's true are not telling you the truth. Probe Ministries has a conference for high school juniors and seniors who are heading into college to help solidify your faith and give you confidence that Christianity is true, so that it can withstand the pressures that will come in college and life after high school. And it's my privilege to speak on homosexuality at this conference that we do. And one year, someone came up to me the second year. He went one year as a junior. He came to me after his senior year in high school, and he said, "Miss Sue, you changed my life. When you told me that my crushes on other guys just meant I needed to finish growing up, I could just chill and finish growing up and not worry about it. Then I gave myself permission to keep growing, and it was the most amazing thing. Just in the last year, those really intense connections and desires to be really attracted to guys just kind of went away, and suddenly I've discovered girls, and boy, are they great." And I loved it that all he needed to be told was, just let yourself finish growing up. The third lie is that since you were born that way, you can't change. How many of you, I want to see your hands, how many of you have heard people are born gay? The vast majority of you have heard that. Like, hands down, thank you very much. No one would have ever believed that 25 years ago. If I had been in this auditorium and I'd asked that, there would have been no hands up. Because this is one of the lies of the culture, that people are born gay. People are not born gay. Not only is it not true in our experience, there's been all kinds of scientific experiments, and no one has been able to find any genetic cause for homosexuality. In the same way, you're not going to find a genetic cause for being spoiled or being bigoted. Those are things that are shaped by our experiences. People are not born gay, but those that identify as gay or lesbian will often look back on their early childhoods and say, "Oh, you know what, I've always been gay. I could remember it going way, way back. I've always been gay." And what they really mean is, "I've always felt different. I felt like maybe I didn't connect with the other people my same age, or I didn't connect with other kids. I wasn't like the other boys. I wasn't like the other girls." But it doesn't mean you're gay or lesbian. It means you're different. And you know why you feel different? Because God made you different. And a lot of people don't really hit their stride. They don't blossom until they're out of high school even. And particularly for those of you in the upper levels, I just want to encourage you. If you're one of those people that thinks, "I am so not getting this. I am not feeling like the other high schoolers," I don't fit in. This is not the easy life that it's supposed to be. Let me encourage you that you may well be one of those people that just starts becoming who you were meant to be after you graduate from high school. It is amazing how many people walk the stage and suddenly they're free to grow into the man or woman that God wants them to be. Some people just don't blossom until later in life. It's okay. You're on the trajectory of the timeline that God wants for you. The first lie was, with this one, is that people are born gay, and nobody is. The second part of the lie is, well, since you're born gay, you can't change. Just like if you're born with green eyes, you're not ever going to change your eye color. But sexual orientation and attraction isn't like eye color. As a matter of fact, we know that there were former homosexuals in the church at Corinth, because Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, to the people in Corinth, he gave a long list of different kinds of life-controlling sins, including adultery and idolatry and murderers and homosexuals. And he said, and such were some of you, not anymore, because Jesus Christ had washed them and redeemed them and set them free. There were former homosexuals in the church at Corinth. It's been like that ever since the church was started. I personally know so many people who will say, I used to have a gay identity, but I'm not anymore. I realized who God made me to be. And I finished growing up, and I let Jesus change and heal the wounds in my heart, and that's not who I am anymore. That's not even how I feel anymore. One of the things that has been very interesting in lieu of this lie that is in the culture that people are born gay is that there was a study done in the state of Minnesota, and they tracked students starting at age 12 on through their teens. And when they asked them at age 12, are you gay, straight, or bisexual, meaning you like both boys and girls, one-fourth of the students were unsure about their sexual orientation. Well, at age 12, that's a crazy question to ask. You're still wondering about, do I have to brush my teeth this morning? Do I have to take a shower, Mom? You know, so they're asking 12-year-olds if you're gay, straight, or bi. They asked the same people the same question 5 years later. And what they discovered, that only 5% said that they were even unsure that they had a question, because they just needed to finish growing up. They just needed to get older. There is a psychiatrist who did a study and learned that with 16-year-old boys, for those that think they may be gay at age 16, if you ask them at age 25, by in that time, from age 16 to age 25, 3 out of 4 of them say, no, I'm not gay. I'm straight. I was just confused. I needed to finish growing up. Something for you to keep in mind is that the way God makes us grow older, we not only grow old inside, but our bodies change. And your brain changes as you go through adolescence, as you go through your teenage years. And the last part of the brain to gel, to change, and to become in its final adult state is the front part. It's called the prefrontal cortex, and it's the part of you that is able to see the long-term consequences of today's choices. That part does not finish growing until you're age 25. So when you're under pressure starting at age 12 and through your teen years to declare a sexuality preference, and you're not finished growing up till age 25, that's way too soon to be asking questions about your sexuality. Particularly because God's plan for us is to be protected from all kinds of heartache and physical and emotional and spiritual sin by not having any kind of sexual experience until we get married, which is closer to the 25-year-old age. The fourth lie is embrace and celebrate your gay identity, because gay life is cool. How many of you have ever watched Glee on TV? Oh, go ahead. Put your hands up. Come on. Come on. I tell you what, it's got some amazing music on that show. And a huge number of people are going, Kurt is the coolest character on this show. He is so out. He is so gay. He is absolutely flaming. I want to be like Kurt. Because look at Kurt. He's on Glee. He's a great example of one of several shows that says being gay is cool. Let me tell you what the truth is. Just because you question your feelings and your sexual identity as a teen doesn't mean you must be gay. What it means is you're confused. You need to finish growing up. See, those who take on a homosexual identity, first of all, you're not agreeing with God. Because he would never say you're gay. What he says is, you are my beloved, precious child. Jesus says, you are so valuable, I died for you. He says, I have plans for you can't even dream of. But homosexuality is not one of them. That's not my plan. It was never my plan for anybody. Your true identity is who God says you are, not how you feel that you are. And if you buy the lie that you're gay or lesbian or bisexual, homosexuality has profound consequences physically, getting sick, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. It just rips holes in people's souls. There's so much sadness. There are so many addictions. It's so hard to break away. You are guaranteed heartache if you take on a gay identity. And you won't believe me on this end of it. If you are thinking about it, or if you know somebody who is, you won't believe me, many of you, until you experience it yourself. But let me just tell you, from the position of somebody who has walked through this experience with so many people, a gay identity is false, and it's a lie from Satan, and it is against what God wants, and it means pain. It is so not like trying a new flavor of ice cream. It's not a matter of trying chocolate when all you've known is vanilla. It's so much bigger than that. Let me explain to you why some teens experiment with gay and lesbian relationships. The vast majority of you in here are not going to be experiencing this, but you will know someone who will. You already know someone who's thinking about it, those of you who are older. First of all, some people experiment with gay and lesbian relationships because they just have normal crushes on their same-sex friends. And they're believing the lie, oh my gosh, I'm crushing on another girl, I must be lesbian. Or, oh my gosh, I've got this huge crush on this guy, or my teacher, or my coach, I must be gay. Let me just tell you. The crushes are part of growing up. Another reason that people... Thank you. Another reason that people dabble in gay and lesbian relationships, especially girls, is something called emotional dependency, which is a desperate neediness to be connected in a very close way to one other person while there's like nobody else in the whole world. And your whole existence is centered around this person, where you want to be their special one and they want to be your special one. And things get totally crazy, like 97 texts in one day, back and forth and back and forth. I need to know you're there. I need to know that you're there for me and you believe in me and we're together and we've got something really special. So that can become a very unhealthy relationship. Sometimes people try out gay and lesbian relationships simply out of a need to belong, because you've been believing the lies of the culture and people are telling you, you know, if you're gay or lesbian, you're kind of an extra level of cool, and I want to belong. I want to be thought of as cool. Some people just check it out because of simple curiosity. What they've been told, and this is a lie, is you owe it to yourself to find out. Are you gay? How will you know if you don't try it out? So girls start kissing other girls. Guys start kissing guys. P- People try things out today in ways they never would have before because you are being bombarded by the lies that this is a normal part of being social. Sometimes people have gay and lesbian relationships or experiences because others have labeled them. They said, you're gay, you're queer, you're a lesbian. And then they don't know who they are, so they'll say, if they say that it's true, it must be true. I guess I'd better go find out. I know so many people that did that. They didn't have any inclinations in that area at all, but somebody told them that they were, and so they thought they owed it to themselves to check it out. And then they got into all kinds of difficult situations that are hard to get out of. And some people are just really anxious about growing up. I don't know that I want to be a grown-up. I don't know that I want to be on my own as an adult. I don't know that I want to date and get married and have all those responsibilities. So I'll just hang out with my same-sex friends and it'll just be the two of us and it'll be good. Please understand that all of these reasons that people experiment, and there's a higher level of experimentation today than there has ever been, I believe, in the history of the world, it's all about spiritual warfare. Satan is lying to you. He wants to destroy you. The Lord Jesus said Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's talking about you. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your purity. He wants to steal your future. He wants to kill your dreams. He wants to kill all kinds of things that God put in there. He wants to destroy the kind of life that God intends for you to have, one that's filled with holiness and purity and a whole lot of joy. Satan wants to take all those things from you. That's why teens experiment, is because the enemy is whispering lies to them and then they don't realize that they're lies from Satan. Let me quickly explain to you why boys can be attracted to other boys. First of all, God intends for boys to have a really close connection with their dad. Dad is the one that teaches a boy what does it mean to be a boy. What does it mean to be in the world of males? Dad is the one who imprints masculinity on the heart of a boy. And if a boy doesn't make that connection with dad for some reason, he's looking and longing for that connection with dad. Or if he made that connection with dad, but then he never made that connection with other boys like God intends, then he's just longing to make that special friend connection with another boy. Some boys just have a disconnect with their masculinity. They don't think that it's a good thing to be a boy because they're a different kind of boy than some of the others, or because they don't like the way their dad treats them or the way that their dad treats their mom, and so they kind of push away and go, if that's what it means to be masculine, I don't want to have any part of it. And so they pattern themselves after their mother, their sisters, their aunts, Disney female characters. They'll say, this is how I want to be, because I sure don't want to be a guy, because that's bad. And for one-third to one-half of men who later take on a gay identity, mistakenly, there is some sexual abuse, and that just sets off a bomb in somebody's soul, and it does terrible things to your soul. Why girls are attracted to other girls? Well, it can go back to very similarly, there needs to be a close connection with mom. Girls are meant to have a close connection with mom, and mom shows a girl what does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to enjoy being female? Lots of girls have that connection with mom, but then they don't have that connection with other girls, which is the next stage in development. We see that in military families who move around a lot. We see it with missionaries who move around a lot. We see it in those who are kind of pushed to the outsides where the other girls don't bring them in and say, come sit at the lunch table with us. Or they deliberately push them out and say, we're having a sleepover and you're not invited, because you're an idiot, or you're ugly, or you're not cool. And when that kind of cruelty pushes people to the edge, they're not able to connect with girls in a healthy way. With some girls, particularly those who, again, there's been so much sexual abuse that has happened with girls, they say, it's not safe or good to be a girl. I don't want to be female. I don't want to be feminine. I'm going to cover myself up. I don't want to have anything to do with men. It's not good to be feminine, so I'm going to disconnect from being feminine. So they'll end up looking very masculine because they don't want to be feminine. It's not that they want to be a boy. Doesn't mean they want to be a man. Don't want to be masculine. It's just that they just don't want to be feminine. At least two-thirds of the women who eventually come out as lesbian, at least up until recently, experienced some kind of sexual abuse. But now we've got this new thing that's happening, and that's why I'm so grateful to be speaking with you today. Because there are so many girls who are trying out lesbianism. You know, girls making out with other girls, girls having very close connections with other girls. And they act as if they were lesbians, but they're not. There's no reason for them to have that kind of relationship that floods over the banks of what God intends for us. But then all kinds of connections get made in the head and the heart, and after a while, since they were acting like lesbians, then a habit develops, and then they don't know how to relate to other people in healthy ways. We've got an amazing number of young people who are taking on a gay identity simply because they wanted to try it out, and then there was some pleasure involved, and then they don't know how to get out of it. Let me explain to you what to do when you don't understand your feelings and desires. So many people who struggle with homosexuality, and just keep this in mind if it's not for you, the vast majority of you, this is not going to apply to you, but it's going to apply to somebody that you know. And you may be in a position to reframe their thinking. It's about gender insecurity, not feeling competent as a boy, not feeling comfortable as a girl. And so, particularly because of the fact that God makes boys and girls differently. With boys, down on one end of a spectrum are your all-American, rough-and-tumble, super sports-oriented guys. Many of you are like that. You came out of, you were born saying, "Where's the ball? I want to play with the ball." And then on the other end of the spectrum, some of you were born with special gifts. You're emotionally sensitive. You are very tender-hearted. If somebody's upset, man, you're tempted to cry because you hurt. And you're gifted in art, you're gifted in music, you're gifted in performing arts, you're gifted in design and texture and that kind of thing. And then you've got everything in between. And in our culture, we unfortunately say, on one end is what it means to be masculine, and down here is what it means to be gay. And that's not what God says at all, because He's the one that chooses where you're going to be on this spectrum. If you are one of the emotionally sensitive, creative, artistic, musical guys, you are specially gifted by God. And if you will be secure in your masculinity, which is how God wants you to be, you are going to grow up to be the most amazing teachers, counselors, pastors, artists, musicians, and let me add, husbands. Women love that kind of guy who is content in his masculinity and has all these gifts. One time there was a guy that told me, if somebody had told me at age 17, "You're not gay, you're gifted," it would have changed everything. And then with girls, there's another spectrum where on the one end you've got the foo-foo femininity thing going on. Girls are born going, "I want a pink receiving blanket. And I want to wear dresses all the time. And please paint my nails. I know I'm only 2 years old and I don't have much in the way of nails, but paint them, Mommy." And on the other end, you've got the jockettes, the tomboys, the ones who are going, "I hate pink. I want to climb trees and play ball with the boys." And it's so easy to look at these girls and say, "You're not a good girl." And God says, "Excuse me, I made all kinds of femininity. There's this big range and everything in between. And if you're the jockette tomboy type, God has specially gifted you probably in leadership. If you will be rest secure in your femininity as God made you to be, you're going to be the most amazing mother of boys, great teacher. You could be working as a coach or Boy Scout leader. With boys, amazing things can happen. So we need to be secure in the gender that God gave us. See, something happens at age 10. we start experiencing this attraction for the same sex. It's emotional, it's not sexual, and it's involuntary. It's just part of growing up. It's just a regular part of being a 10-year-old. It doesn't mean you're gay. It means you're growing up. And the thing is, if there are unmet needs in a person's heart, and then they hit puberty, and then all of a sudden all these hormones hit your body, and suddenly you get taller, and your body starts looking different, and your voice gets deeper, and all kinds of things change. Your body gets flooded with hormones, and you can take those desires that God put in you for attention and affection, people showing you affection and approval, and you can make them sexual, and they were never intended to be. Let me just tell you, it is not a sin to be tempted. What I'm talking about is feelings that come as a result of temptation. Jesus Christ was tempted in every way as we were, and yet was without sin. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. I want you to know that having same-sex attractions is not a sin. It is a temptation. The sin happens when you step over the line and leave the temptation and act on it. And so you need to know, as Christian students in a Christian school, it's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to act on the temptation. Please do not tell yourself the lie, there's something terribly wrong with me, when all you're experiencing is temptations. If you do have dark feelings that you don't understand, what you do is invite Jesus into your longings. Invite him into your desires, into your dark and hurting places. Invite him into your unmet needs and say, Jesus, I'm a mess. Would you please come touch me and love me and hold me and fill up the holes in my heart? Pursue healthy same-sex friendships. If you're a boy, you need to spend time with other boys. And let me just tell you, you need to spend time with your dad. It's just absolutely huge. And if you're a girl, just spend time with healthy girls, just doing girl stuff. Please don't keep it a secret. Tell somebody who's trustworthy. And let me just tell you that there is this amazing online support group for youth who struggle at livehope.org. If you don't need it for you, please remember that for somebody that you may hear about who is a struggler. Incredible place to find support, and nobody will ever know because it's anonymous. The vast majority of you are going to be thinking, I just do not get this whole gay lesbian thing. And if that's you, I completely understand that. Let me tell you, first of all, please be compassionate, because you don't know who is struggling with same-sex attractions because they're keeping it private. Those who experience attractions to the same sex as what they are and then pursue them are wounded people. Something is not right there. There's a wound and there's deception that's going on. Please be compassionate for those that have taken on a gay identity or a lesbian identity. They're confused and they're deceived. And please be a grace giver, because those with same-sex attraction have been lied to by the enemy, by the culture. Pray for them to see the truth. Some of you in this room, I am very sure, are dealing with the heartbreak of knowing that an older brother or sister has come out and said, Mom, Dad, I'm gay, deal with it. You may have aunts and uncles or cousins. You may have neighbors who've come right out and said, I'm gay and I'm okay with it because God made me this way. And they've been lied to, and they're blind, and pray that God would allow them to see the truth. If you have a friend that says, I think I'm gay, or I think I'm lesbian, ask some gentle questions, like, why do you think that? And you would say that without a sneer in your face or an edge in your voice. Why do you think that? Help them to think through critically, where did you come to this conclusion? And another powerful question is, what if your feelings are real, but the way you're interpreting them is not valid? And the final thing I would say to you who do not struggle, never will struggle, that's the vast majority of you, is please be respectful, because you need to hold back on the gay jokes. Every time you use the word gay, especially by saying, oh God, that is so gay. Every time you say that, it is a knife to the heart of someone who struggles, or they have a loved one who struggles. And it hurts like the dickens. And don't throw around words like homo or fag or queer. Those are hurtful, hurtful words, and they wound people. And the Lord calls us to love each other, not to wound each other. Just finally, let me tell you, Jesus loves people who struggle with same-sex attraction. Homosexuality is not his plan for people. And it is a trap that's very difficult to get out of. But there's no question but that Jesus loves them. If you have trouble with that, ask him to love people through you. But please, please be aware of the lies that you hear in the culture. Identify them as lies and stand against them and say, that's not God's plan. I'm not going to go there. Thank you.